9661. That's 265-9661.
All right, it's 504 ESPN 1300, the Sports Animal. Tony D, I'm taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We're live and local here in Colorado Springs, and it's time to start filling out your brackets for the variety of, you know, entertainment-only office pools that you got going on. Later in the show, Rhinestone, our crack producer who doesn't know anything about college basketball whatsoever, is going to fill one out. We're going to see how he does. And you know what? That's the beauty of these kind of events, is the people who don't know anything about college basketball can join in the fun, because those of us who know some things about college basketball, sometimes we get blown out of the water. But joining us right now on our primetime sports hotline from PickHoops.com is Chris Heyman. He's going to give us some advice on filling out the bracket. First of all, Chris, let's talk about PickHoops.com. You have got a computer, a way for people to, you know, use the computer to pick out and keep track of their office pool?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Yep, we have a website, pickhoops.com. You can come on, set up your pool, invite your friends, fill out your brackets online.
And you
no
guys,
more, go ahead.
And you guys keep up with the scoring for people?
That's right. It's all automatic. It's all automated. No more printing out brackets and marking them out as the games go on. It's all done online.
Oh, I tell you right now, I wish I knew about you, because that's one of the reasons I don't think anyone's doing it here at our office, is because nobody wants the 50 sheets to score by hand.
Right. I noticed you guys said on your website that you want people to fax them in.
Yes, right. We do. I know. I should have found you earlier. I know. We're doing one, and I'm telling you, I've got a staff of people ready to go at any moment to be grading our entries that fax in. But you know what? We could have set up with you. We could have had a website. You go to that website, and people could fill it out, and you guys would track our winners for us, correct?
That's right.
We'll be talking next year. How about that?
That'd be great.
Absolutely. All right. Chris Heyman from PickHoops.com. And again, check out their website for if you guys want to get involved in that. It's still not late in the game, right?
Yeah, it's still lots of time.
Still lots of time. You guys can get involved in that. All right.
That's right.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Person picking out their bracket. Now, you have on your site, you offer some advice for people to pick out the brackets. What's the number one rule when filling out a bracket if you're not quite sure? Maybe you know 20 of the teams pretty good, but the other 40 are a mystery. What's the probably the golden rule in filling this stuff out?
Right. So the golden rule is understand the risk and not too many upsets. That's probably the number one mistake people make, especially in small to medium-sized pools. They go crazy with the upsets. And especially in a smaller pool, you can probably win the thing if you just submit a pool with just the top seeds going all the way and a few key strategic upset picks.
I noticed that, too, on one of your pieces of advice is saying, if you take a no-upset bracket, you'll beat roughly 85% of the brackets out there in your collection pools. That's still kind of true?
Yeah, we've been tracking that. In fact, we had a group last year had 60 brackets, and the brain-dead, no-upset pick beat them all.
Really? So somebody who said, I'm taking all the number one seeds, and I'm taking all the number twos over the threes and the fours over the fives, if I just do that, I might have a better shot than analyzing over each one.
Yeah, it's all about managing risk. So you don't want to pick too many of those, like, 13 seeds and 12 seeds. You want to focus your upsets more on the 10 and 11 seeds, and the upsets are more likely to happen.
What would you say to the guy that says, you know, I have got every single one of these teams, you know, info page on my computer. I'm analyzing everything that they do well and wrong. I'm spending hours and hours and hours breaking down three-point shooting and foul shooting. Does that guy really have a better shot than the secretary who goes, hey, they're wearing green. I like that.
Hey, our secretary won our office pool last year. So.
Really? I mean, can you overanalyze this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're analyzing it like that, I hope you're having fun.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a lot of work. I mean, golly, I do this for a living, and I have no interest in breaking down Albany's free throw shooting percentage. But so when people who do this, there are some things that trends over the years that have been consistent. The most famous one is a 12 will beat a 5. Right off the bat, one of the fives will go down in the first round. How do you know which five that is? Is it, you know, a team from a lower conference that's a five? Is it an overseeded five? Is there any reason to that madness?
Yeah, you can look at the computer rankings. We have a link to a site run by Kenneth Macy, who does the Macy ratings using the BCS. He's got one for college basketball. And his site is showing Arkansas as the most likely upset winner over USC this year.
Oh, really?
But, you know, it's hard because if you pick one of those 12, I mean, 12 seeds, chances are one of them's going to win. Chances are you're not going to pick the right one.
That's very true. That's what I always end up. I always end up picking the wrong 12.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that, that five that I've eliminated makes it to, like, the Elite Eight.
Right.
And then I'm and they're not there, and the red pen goes all the way across the board. You also say it's very important to know how many people are in your office pool. How come?
That's right. That's right. You want to manage your risk, as I was saying. If you have a really small pool, and if the no upset bracket's going to be 85%, then that no upset pick is the way to go. If you're entering in like the ESPN online pool where you've got like millions of brackets,
right?
Then you need to pick every upset that you can think just might even happen. You might want to go with like a Memphis or a Texas A&M to win it all, because everyone in the brother is going to be picking Florida and Ohio State and so on.
You know, I was talking about that too. Sometimes the real team that comes into the NCAA tournament is the team. You know, we were talking to UNLV, you know, 15, 20 years ago, or
right.
A team like that where everybody is on them. Isn't it better to go with the flow and say, well, if they do lose, everybody's suffering on this one?
That's right. That's right. You want to pick the teams that no one else in your pool is picking. Like, for example, I'm in a pool this year with a bunch of North Carolina State fans.
Uh-huh.
I've got UNC going all the way.
Oh, okay.
Because I know not one of them could stomach playing in UNC all the way. So
good point.
If they go, I got a chance.
Good point. Now, this is very interesting, because what I like about your advice is saying, hey, look, leave the ego at the door. Here are some strategies to win. How much does the male ego especially take into account in these office pools? Because everybody wants to be the man when it comes to picking college basketball games. So, you know, I always find it interesting when I get brackets back from people who are really sure that, you know, the sixth seed is going to win it all. Does that create a problem for you?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Yeah, you don't want to have too much invested in your picks like that.
Right.
And, I mean, it's going to be really tough to know who's going to win all this. So it's just all about managing your risk. You want to ease towards the favorites. At every step.
Yeah, when in doubt, is it better to go with the favorites?
Absolutely.
So if you are really torn between, you know, a five seed going up against a two in the Elite Eight or however it works, is it always just, hey, just take the two and hope for the best?
That's generally the right way to go. As I was saying, if you're in a gigantic pool, then you're going to need some upsets to go your way. But if you're in a smaller pool, then go with a favorite, if at all in doubt.
When you guys analyzed all these tournaments and things like that and what people pick, What do you find out is people's when we get to the Final Four, we know that no Final Four has consisted of all four number one seeds, but with the exception of last year, a couple of them will make it. Do people rely, do they have two number ones? Do they have three number ones? I mean, what is mostly the consensus of people when it comes to number one seeds getting to the Final Four?
Well, right now, for this year, we've got Florida and Ohio State are the most likely.
Most likely, okay.
Right. And then Kansas and North Carolina are the two that people think most likely are going to get upset. But if you're looking to maximize your chances, sure, I mean, not all four number ones are going to make it. But if you pick all four, chances are you're going to get the two or three that made it.
What about proximity to event site? Does that matter, or does this day and age of travel and plush hotels, does that factor into any consideration at all?
We did a little bit of analysis on that, and usually if you're closer, that has a little bit of a help, but not a tremendous amount.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people who say, well, I like UCLA because they're playing in San Diego. And I say, well, you know, the team is arriving like on Tuesday. You know,
right.
Like the team from Alabama is arriving on Tuesday. They're pretty much going to get acclimated to where they're at. Their fan base will travel pretty good. So I never really put a lot of stock into that, but I'm amazed how many people will take a team because they're 500 miles closer than another team.
Yeah, that it has a tiny impact, but certainly not enough to affect your bracket that much.
You do tell people to do their homework. Again, his site is pickhoops.com. You do tell people to do their homework when it comes to the 8 and 9 seeds. Just make sure, you know, just look up statistics, or what do you look up for in that?
Yeah, I usually look at, I check the computers, I check which team is hot. So when I'm saying lean towards the favorites, well, the 8 and 9 seeds are a toss-up.
In fact,
more 9 seeds have beaten 8 seeds historically. So you could think of the 9 seeds as a favorite almost. And the 7 and 10 matchup, the other closest one, they've been pretty close too. So So I consider those to be toss-ups. So really, really look for little things that differentiate.
When picking an upset, how far should you take the upset through? I mean, let me put you this way. Arizona, an 8 seed, they knock off Florida. Does that mean they're good enough to get to the Final Four? If you do make an upset, do you ride that pony all the way through to the end, or do you have them, like, realistically losing to the 3 seed that they're going to face next?
Well, interesting. It matters as to which particular seed you're looking at. Because if an 8 seed beats a 1 seed, well, the 1 seed's got the easy pass all the way through. So if the 8 seed manages to make the upset, then they've got the easy pass.
Ah, right. That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you would take, you would take a team a little bit further than, making it one and done kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, we think that effect helped Villanova in 85, for example.
Yes, very true. Good point. What about George Mason last year? Did anybody in your computer who signed up had George Mason going to the Final Four?
We had three.
Three, really?
About 100,000 brackets.
You guys processed 100,000 brackets and three people had George Mason?
That's right.
That is incredible.
If you look at those three, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in their other picks, too. They look pretty random to me.
I was going to say, that is statistically, can you even equate that? That's like 1,000th of 1%, something like that?
I don't have a calculator.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty amazing. Unbelievable. And I bet did any of those three win?
No.
Yeah,
they were near the bottom of their bracket.
Oh, see, that's what I always said. The guy who does have a George Mason in their Final Four also has them playing like, Southern Connecticut State.
Right.
Something
Florida
ridiculous
A&M
like Florida A&M, exactly. Chris Heyman, again, your site is pickhoops.com. And again, if you're looking for a very easy way for your group to participate in an office pool setting, a bracket challenge sort of setting, without the hassle of the paperwork and the scoring and all that stuff, can people set different scoring with you guys, or do you guys have one set scoring that's how you roll it?
Oh, it's highly configurable.
Oh, it is?
Set it up just about any way you want.
So if somebody says, I want to give 10 points for every Final Four team you get, you guys can arrange it for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know what? I got to be honest with you. I think you're on to something here, because people like me really, really hate grading brackets. And a very inexpensive cost, you can get all of that taken care of. And plus, people don't have to rush to get, the bracket and fill it out and get to. They can just go online, log into obviously whatever site you have or whatever group you have, fill it out on their own time, and it's all set and go, right?
Right.
Well, Chris Heyman, thanks again for joining me. Again, the site is pickhoops.com, and we'll definitely be talking next year.
All right.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your time. All right. It's 5:17 on ESPN 1300, the Sports Animal. All right, Ryan Stone, did you get any good advice on that? A little bit. Are you ready to make your picks on your very sloppy, terrible bracket coming up?